everyone, welcome to the Dan Aykroyd podcast. I am back from Canada, and I've got. Okay, so I always screw this up. Whenever I have Miguel and Eddie, I go, here's Chase and Bryce are here. Let's just say that. I love all these guys the same. Chase and Bryce.
Hello. Thanks for having us, Scott.
Thanks for having us. We're glad to be here.
So this is...
What an interesting episode.
It is going to be. It's not going to be long either, because we don't have that much to talk about. I don't know. We'll just keep talking until we run out of things to say. So this, it's Halloween season. It's October while we're recording this, and it's going to come out. So I thought we could just do like a quick little podcast on Ghostbusters, the music video.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I take it both of you have seen Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We did it on our podcast. And our first, I don't even think it was October. I think we just did it.
Yeah.
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 And
because as you know, like our whole podcast is doing movies that Bryce hasn't seen. And that was one of the first ones that came up because I love that movie so much.
Yeah.
Right. Chase and Bryce do the Movie Gap podcast. It's on Cross the Streams Media, where you can find all of my podcasts. And we're just going to do the video. So when was the first time? Do you guys remember the first time you saw the video? Because you guys are...
Yeah, I don't know. So I watched it, you know, earlier this week when you sent the link to it. And I actually just showed Bryce the video right before we started recording. And I don't know that I've ever really watched it before. Like, it kind of felt like I'm sure I have, but, like, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the song I've known forever. And I've heard the song a million times. I think I had four or five different remixes of it on a CD when I started like downloading and burning CDs back in the 90s or whatever, when I was like 13 or something. Yeah, the song I know very well. The music video, not so much. And it was an interesting little trip down, I guess, nostalgia lane.
Directed by Ivan Reitman, who directed the movie. So he directed the music video. It's a combination. I remember watching this on MTV because, like I said, I was always excited when this would come on. I was always excited when a video had clips of a movie in it, which this
one. Yes, I was the same way.
Yeah.
Because I liked movies more than music videos or music in general. So, yeah.
So I'll tell you guys how many in this video, they have a bunch of cameos. How many of those guys did you recognize?
Almost all of them.
Half for me.
Yeah.
About half. I recognize none of the actresses, actually. I'm ashamed to say.
Well,
I recognized
all
of the actors.
Yeah, I knew Chevy Chase. I knew John Candy. I knew Melissa Gilbert, but at first I thought it was what's her name from
Punky Brewster?
No, Kathy Lee. I thought it was Kathy Lee Gifford, not Melissa Gilbert. And then I knew Jeffrey Tambor. I knew George Wendt. I knew Al Franken. Danny DeVito was in there. Who else was in there? Carly Simon.
Yes.
And then Columbo, Peter Falk.
Columbo, yeah.
And Terry Garr. And then, I don't know who the guy with dreadlocks was.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know him.
I didn't know who that was. That was the only one I didn't know. And he is Ollie. His name is Ollie B. Brown or Ollie E. Brown. I'm not sure. But he's a famous drummer. I still don't know anything about him. I just looked up his name. But I knew.
Yeah. It was just such a random list of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all none of them have anything to do with each other. Yeah. I did read that as a favor to Reitman.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Which is why so many of them are from the comedy.
The Reitman connection. Yeah, because didn't Chevy Chase and Bill Murray still have their beef active at the time? And
they probably still do.
Yeah, I mean, so it was kind of interesting seeing Chevy Chase doing something for a Bill Murray vehicle.
So you're not close with Bill Murray even to this day?
Well, we've never been close, but we've been very friendly. We played golf together.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I can't play for crap. I don't like golf. Billy is a golf maven.
Right.
He really knows
it. You play because it's a social thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if someone invites you, you'll go.
Yeah, and I think we've made an effort over the years to get to know each other better and to put that stuff behind.
you know, just for free. Or
well, was
even if it is the just the music video, you know.
Was he working on a Reitman film at that time? Do you know?
No. A fact about Ivan Reitman and Chevy Chase is, do you guys remember or the movie Memoirs of an Invisible Man?
Yes, Memoirs of an Invisible Man. That is directed by Carpenter.
Yes.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. But it was originally directed by Ivan Reitman. And Ivan Reitman got fed up with Chevy Chase. And Ivan Reitman went to the studio and said, either I go or Chevy goes. And then the studio said, you're going. So that's how John Carpenter got the job.
Yeah. And basically after that, John Carpenter kind of didn't make anything good ever again. And it's sort of like Chevy Chase broke him.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, what was it? In the Mouth of Madness came out after that, but I think he had filmed it before.
Yeah.
But yeah, like there's, like that's the last really good one, because it's after that he goes back and he does that one with the second Snake Plissken one, the Escape from L.A., which is not great.
Which is, yeah,
not
great. Which at has, all. That movie has Bruce Campbell in it, and
yes, little, it does.
And we just did. I just did your podcast, and we just did Bubba Ho-Tep, which stars Bruce Campbell.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all connected.
It's all
it's all connected.
Yeah.
I know you guys have heard this song. I mean, is this a song that you enjoy or?
Oh yeah, big time.
This it song, slaps.
As far as movie themes go, this is all time best. I think all time great. Like
instantly.
Pop songs written for a movie, all time great. Absolute. Yep. And just watching it again to get refreshed on it, because I had seen like clips of the video, just never all the way through or whatever. And just watching it again, I was just sitting here going, man, I fucking love this.
It's
song.
So
like,
good.
God, how awesome!
It was nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh, there you go.
It lost to Stevie Wonder.
Yes. I just called to say I love you.
Yeah.
Now, you probably also know this if you read it, Huey Lewis sued Ray Parker Jr.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I did hear about this.
Because Huey Lewis claimed that he stole the bass line from I Want a New Drug.
Well, and supposedly when they were editing the film, they used, you know, so when editors are working on a movie, they don't have the music necessarily ready yet, you know, especially scores or whatever they're going to put in. So they started editing it to I Want a New Drug. So then when they went to Ray Parker Jr., they said, we need something that sounds like this. And he got the idea to do the local TV commercial style of like song. That's what he was doing a jingle for, which is why it's so good.
Right.
But Lewis sued him, and they settled out of court. And Huey Lewis, in his VH1 special, basically said, you know, things that he wasn't supposed to say about that lawsuit. And Ray Parker sued the shit out of
Sued him back.
Yeah, and got a lot of money for it.
Oh, wow.
So he sued him for breach of contract and won, like, all his money back.
Basically. Wow.
So whether he did or not, so he supposedly stole from Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis called him on it, and he's like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And he got my money back. Now, there's a weird thing.
Drama.
There's a weird thing in this. So in this movie, in this video, you see movie clips, which I said, like, I always enjoy. And all the, so it's weird, and I don't remember that. Like when the cameos pop up, like when when Chevy Chase or John Candy, when they pop up, sometimes you can hear them say Ghostbusters in their voice. But then
Danny
some
DeVito
of them,
specifically.
Yes, but then some of them, you don't hear it in their own voice. You just hear the chorus.
Yeah.
So it's that's a really weird part of the video, which I didn't remember. But you can clear, like Danny DeVito, he's like, Ghostbusters. You can totally say that.
Yeah, and he's off. Like, he's not saying it with the music. He's too fast and too late.
He's just saying
it. Yeah. I can't be who you gonna call.
Ghostbusters. Okay, great. Yeah.
And then Al Franken does it in this weird.
Yeah.
I don't, he feminine way. He's just like, Ghostbusters. Yeah. It's like, what was that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like he was doing it, like, I'm going to do an unusable take.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you don't
like
put
he's
it
trying
in.
To. Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Yeah, I'm not getting paid. I'm doing one take.
Yeah.
You get the movie clips, you get the cameos, but then there's going through the video, there's this woman who goes into a house, and I must say it's a very minimalistic looking house that's black that has like neon furniture, which I thought looked really cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool
symbol. Oh, I mean, it's just like wire. Yeah, it's the wire frame neon on a black background. It was one of the
first things I mentioned because I didn't even remember that.
Yeah.
And yeah, as soon as I saw that, I was like, this is the most killer set I've ever seen. This is so dope. I don't know, like, why there wasn't ever more of this. He even did the microphone in the neon lights.
Yeah.
Like, everything was lined. Even the curtains had white neon lights bulbs coming out like waving out and stuff.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And I definitely am going to turn my house into that for sure.
That's very simplistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's this like, you know, beautiful blonde woman walking through this haunted neon wireframe house. And it's haunted by Ray Parker Jr. singing in her face and a black family. Like the first part of the video, these black kids keep popping up and singing the Ghostbuster part. And then they kind of disappear after that.
They do. They kind of disappear. Yeah. And then it gets...
They were ghosts.
Yeah.
It gets weird where, like, Ray Parker Jr. is sort of stalking this woman in this house. It's like...
Yeah. Yes. He comes up, like, from the smoky under the stairs. Like,
he comes up from under the stairs, that was the most hilarious part.
And he, like, gets up on her, and then she calls the Ghostbusters like he tells them to, and I guess it's okay. Yeah, why is he telling her to call the Ghostbusters to get rid of him?
Somebody stop me.
Which, like, yeah, we need to stop you. You're an aggressive ghost.
Like, yes, you're... Like, please call the Ghostbusters. Yeah, it looks like you're trying to perform sexual assault on this young lady.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this is the next prequel movie from The Conjuring.
Well, his name is Ray Parker Jr.
Oh, Bryce.
How about the one where he slides out from under the bed? That scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just like, hey, I'm under your bed, lady.
Over here.
Yeah.
And then, he's like, I guess the Ghostbusters are supposed to come get him, but then he's dancing with them in Times Square.
Yeah.
He's leading the Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
dance.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. The end of the video is all of them strutting down the street, which is also, if you ever watch the real Ghostbusters, they use that at the end of the cartoon. That same.
Yeah. Yeah. Them all dancing.
Yeah. And it's quite hilarious. Harold Ramis has absolutely no rhythm. Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Ernie Hudson, and Ray Parker Jr., they're all getting it. And Harold Ramis is just a bit off. It's like, oh, he's out of step. Harold doesn't have the rhythm the other ones do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and they're like shooting in Times Square, so they probably don't have a lot of chances to get another
take.
Yeah,
right.
They're just like, well, Harold, that's the one we're going with.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. In fact, the real Ghostbusters Harold is right here. This is the Harold Ramis character, Egon.
Yeah, with the blonde hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's got the spook. Yeah. He's
scared. He used to have a necktie that went up, but the necktie broke.
Spook action. Ooh.
Yeah, all of the original run of those action figures were just the Ghostbusters and their scare faces.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a couple other things. So at the end of the video, we see Chevy Chase again. And he does this thing where he flips the cigar. He has a cigar.
The cigarette, in his mouth.
Yeah. Apparently, he burnt the shit out of the inside of his mouth doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely not the first time he's done it either. That's a Chevy Chase bit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something you try the first time.
No.
Also, why even light it?
I guess don't do it while it's lit.
While it's lit, because it's like no one's gonna notice. But that's commitment. That's the kind of commitment you get from Chevy Chase.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why he was so good at pratfalls. He just fell.
This is true.
Yeah, that's why he ended up on pain pills and in the Betty Ford Clinic. He just fell.
He just threw himself down and
one of the reasons.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He also just kind of liked it.
Yeah. Right.
Liked it too much.
Yeah. Ray Parker Jr., he's haunting this chick. He pulls his shirt open, and there's a shirt with the Ghostbusters logo on it.
Yeah, no sleeves.
No sleeve. Mm. The one thing I remember is, like I said, I remember being in school. Everybody, when the T-shirts came out, it had the simple symbol, but it also had Ghostbusters written under. And I remember everybody was looking. It's like, we want the shirt with just the logo. We don't want Ghostbusters.
Yeah, cleaner.
But it was almost, now you can find it. But back then, it was almost impossible to find. Everybody was like, no, we want the shirt from the video. And like, nobody had that. It was always had Ghostbusters written at the bottom of the shirt. That's just a weird little thing that I remember.
Well, and one of the reasons of that probably is because when they made the shirts for the video and everything, they didn't know what the movie was going to be called yet. Because when they were originally making the movie, up until like almost halfway through production or something like that, they did not know if it was going to be able to be called Ghostbusters, because they didn't pay Hanna-Barbera for the rights to the name Ghostbusters, because they had a different, totally unrelated cartoon from like the 60s or whatever that was called The Ghostbusters. And it was like these two guys and an ape that, like, I don't know, did they fight ghosts or anything?
They did fight ghosts, and it was actually a live action.
Oh, it was. Okay.
It was a live action show, and it was, this is me geek, it had Larry Storch and Forrest Tucker from F Troop. People would call them and they would come and they would bust ghosts, and they had machines like, you know, a ghost trapper. It was very similar in some ways.
We're the Ghostbusters.
I'm Spencer. He's Tracy.
I'm Kong.
We're the Ghostbusters. We're clever, courageous, and strong. Your sleep has been haunted with whispers and ramblings. Your blood has been curdled. We know what to do. Your skin has the creepies. I wonder what's happening. You're safe in our hands. We will take care of you. We're the Ghostbusters. Spirits and demons, beware. The Ghostbusters. Wherever you're hiding, I'm there. We know what you're up to. We're ready for anything. We're bold and we're fearless and never afraid. We're always prepared. We're right there with everything. With us on the job, trouble soon fade. The Ghostbusters do it again.
But it wasn't at all an inspiration for...
No, it was just coincidental.
But they, like, the only thing they had against them doing the movie was they couldn't use the name Ghostbusters because they had a trademark. And then what was the story on how they got that? It was something about when they were shooting one of the real big scenes, and they were like, we can't keep all of these extras out here to shout, you know, Ghost Fighters and Ghostbusters and like all the other titles of what they were going to call them. So they said, well, we'll just shoot Ghostbusters. Send that to the studio and be like, look, if you want the movie made now, you have to get on the phone and make a deal. And they did, right? The story? So I wonder if that's why the shirt didn't say Ghostbusters, because at that time they hadn't figured out.
That is a good point, because they were probably getting the video. Yeah, they were getting the video ready. Well, but the name of the song is called
Ghostbusters. Yeah, I don't know.
There goes your whole theory, Chase.
Well, it was still worth saying it. It was still worth saying it on the podcast.
Theory Busters. That's what we are.
Theory Busters. Yes.
Yeah. We're Mythbusters. We don't have the rights to the name.
We have the rights.
But you know what? Now we're going to have to get on the phone.
Yeah, right.
I was disappointed that they didn't get Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis in the video as well. In the movie scenes.
Right.
But one of the scenes that I remember vividly is there's that scene in the movie where Sigourney Weaver is possessed and her eyes pop open, and it's perfectly timed with a beat in the movie, in the music video. It's like they perfectly timed that. It's like, oh, okay, that worked out perfectly.
They also managed to get in the ghost BJ scene.
That's right,
the floating ghost BJ scene, the one that that people always seem to forget until they rewatch Ghostbusters. You're like, oh yeah, there's that scene where Dan Aykroyd's getting a beach from a ghost.
From a ghost, yeah.
That he fought very hard to keep that in the film.
I ain't afraid of no ghost either.
Well, it was from the scene was cut. Apparently, in the movie, they brought in all these uniforms or something, like from old. I forget what it was, but it's not just a spirit. There was a reason behind the spirit being in, in the Ghostbusters place.
Yeah, in the movie, it becomes like it's in one of those montage parts or whatever, and it's like undoing his thing. But then I think it ends up being a dream or whatever. But like, it's still in there. But yeah, it was a subplot.
Yes, you're right, Chase. It does end up being a dream in the movie, but it was originally shot where a ghost originally gives Dan Aykroyd a blowjob.
Such a weird movie, but so good. And they've never been able to do it again.
No, no.
Ghostbusters, even Ghostbusters 2, when they actually did it, it was a hot garbage.
Really?
Yeah. You've seen it. You watched it right after. Yeah, you watched it right after we watched it, and you're like, that movie sucked.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was so bad I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lightning in a bottle. It was lightning in a bottle.
And this video is better than Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, big time. Big time.
There's a couple of scenes in the movie where Ray Parker is standing in front of movie footage. It's like, that didn't age too well. Maybe you shouldn't have done that. So, but
Yeah, for sure.
So like I said, this is a short, I just wanted to get your guys' opinion. You love the song. What did you guys think of the video? I mean, you first time.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I
like the video. I like that it had its own original set and the set looked dope. Even though it was it does do the typical splicing footage from the film, they at least took time to make a cool looking set. And then Ray Parker's just on there having fun. He's so nonchalant. I love how nonchalant he is the whole time. He's like, who are you gonna call?
Even when he's like aggressively chasing the girl, it's a little nonchalant.
Like he's like,
well, and it also felt very like slapdashed, but like slapdashed in a way that they still put some money and thought into it.
Yeah.
Beyond just like, we just need clips of the movie and throw it out there to get something on MTV.
Yeah.
Because this was cool in heavy video, rotation cool on MTV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This song hit number one, didn't it? On Billboard?
I believe so. Yeah.
Well produced. It slaps.
And when you think about it, that's smart advertising. You put the movie, I don't know, this probably wasn't the first one, but to have a video showing clips of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, they're showing that 6-7 times a day on MTV. People are going to see that. It's this looks pretty cool. I'm going to go out and see it.
Yeah, and at that point, it's a trailer for the movie that you didn't have to buy airtime for. You know, just another one of those things that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like videos on MTV.
Yeah, videos on MTV and just music videos in general. Like, I guess they still make them. But
everything just goes straight to YouTube. Internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Like I said, this was just going to be a short, succinct. I wanted to get out sort of a spooky episode for October, and I had you guys online. We just did Bubba Hotep. So if you're listening to this, I believe this one and Bubba Hotep are probably going to come out around the same time.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think Bubba Hotep will be at the very end of October.
Okay, so this will come out first.
Cool.
After you listen to this, check the Movie Gap. I'm going to be on their October Bubba Hotep podcast. That was really fun doing this. Short to sync. Thank you guys for doing this. Chase and Bryce.
Thank you.
Find them on Cross the Stream Media, their podcast, The Movie Gap. I'm Scott White. Anything else you guys want to promote before I go?
No. All of our social media is at The Movie Gap. Instagram, Twitter, all of that stuff. Yeah. Check us out.
All right. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, guys.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. That should help people find this podcast. And no matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Dan Aykroyd podcast.
So, I always said, so me and Jimmy Kimmel were in Ivan Reitman's office once, and Jimmy Kimmel's the biggest Huey Lewis fan in the world, and we were sitting with Ivan Reitman, so he's talking to him about the lawsuit and your song and everything else, and I think Jimmy said, how much did Huey get or something? And Ivan just went, like, broke a pencil or something. Like he didn't even have a pencil in his hand. He had a system to get him a pencil. And he walked across and just handed it to him, broke it to him, and then handed it back to him. I'm not even sure there was lead in it. He just needed something to break. Do you know how much money? Did they give you a gag order or something?
First of all, there is a gag order, right? And I don't know if you know about it, but he broke that gag order.
Really?
In Huey did.
Yeah, in 2002 or something like that.
The pencil and the gag order have both been broken.
So wait a minute. I sued him and I got money.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. So everyone wins.
Now, by the way, I like him. I mean, I never met him, but I like his music. I don't have a problem.
There's nothing not to like about Huey Lewis
as a
dude.
Yeah.
And I would say the same about you. You're both super nice guys.
For some reason, he attacked me, and I don't really think I had anything to do with it, you know? And I read all of these things in the newspaper. Everybody, you know, once people come out, it's like, it's almost like the Bill Cosby thing. You're guilty as soon as everybody says on the news too many times, we think maybe he did this. What happened to the maybe he did this? But at the end, if you're acquitted, they put that in small print. Nobody ever says anything.
What about Bill's song, I Got a New Drug?
Cross the streams.
This has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.
A bit of breaking news, a local family is forced out of their home by ghosts. Who are they going to call?
Ghostbusters, Tom?
No, Diane, their insurance company. That's just stupid what you said.